This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Nama penuh saya Muhammad Nasir bin Jani. Dikenali sebagai Nasir Jani. Masa saya banyak dihabiskan menentang rejim Mahathir dengan isu-isu rasuah, isu cetak rompak, isu rambut semua, dan saya digam. Masa mesyuarat FDAM yang pertama 1992, A.R. Badul ada membawa usul, dia kata kenapa ada syarikat bernama HVD yang mendapat beratus dan mungkin beribu episod daripada RTM, Kementerian Penerangan ketika itu. Dua minggu selepas mesyuarat agung tu dan isu itu ditimbulkan oleh A.R. Badul, keluar muka depan surat khabar, utusan, berita harian, artis lelaki berambut panjang tidak dibenarkan muncul dalam rancangan-rancangan terbitan RTM. Isu rambut panjang ni digunakan untuk mendivert, untuk mengalih perhatian rakyat supaya tak cerita pasal rasuah, tentang HVD, tetapi semua cerita pasal isu rambut.
Good afternoon, this is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture and I'm Juliet Jacobs. We're continuing our collaboration with the folks from the Freedom Film Network and highlighting films that they are re-releasing on their YouTube channel straight from their vaults right to you, and which they have dubbed The Weekend Watch with Freedom Film Fest. So this past month or so, the theme has been Merdekakan Minda Rakyat, and we've seen an array of films that tackle censorship in film, music and the arts. So this weekend, the film Nasir Jani Melawan Lembaga Puaka will be released, but for only 1 week. And I'm going to find out all about this film from Aryan Mat Zahari, who is the director, co-producer and co-writer of the film, and Zikri Rahman, who is the co-producer and co-writer. Welcome, gentlemen. How are you today?
Hi.
Thank you for having us.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you for joining me. So I think, you know, I'd like to start off, if that's okay, by getting to know the both of you better. I know you do a lot of things other than making films. Can you tell me a little bit about what you guys do and some of the projects that you've worked on? Aryan, you want to start?
Okay. I'm Aryan. I'm actually a full-time architect and running two jobs, architecture and ID jobs around KL, Kuantan and Penang currently. Mm-hmm. I'm also a full-time dad and a filmmaker in between.
Yeah. When you have the time. How do you find the time?
I don't know.
As a parent, I also don't know how you do it. Okay. Well, that's lovely. And Zikri, how about you? You're no stranger to BFM. I know you've done many projects, but maybe, you know, for those who are not familiar, what are some of the things that you do work on?
Thank you, Juliet. Listen, I'm Zikri Rahman. I'm an independent researcher and, of course, a cultural worker. I'm affiliated with Buku Jalanan. It's a street library movement based in different parts of Malaysia. And then I'm also affiliated with Malaysia Muda, a youth-based educational and cultural initiative. Yeah, so that's about it. And of course, like I've been working with doing the documentary together with Aryan. Yeah.
Okay, I'm just curious, was Nasir Jani Melawan Lembaga Puaka your first film or not? Was that your first collaboration as well?
Yes, it's my first collaboration with Aryan. But of course, Aryan, yeah, maybe he can introduce himself as well. Aryan, please.
Actually, this documentary is actually first commission work that I did. Mm. And also, this is also the first collaboration between me and Zikri on documentary film.
Okay.
Before that, we worked also in like maybe some Hari Raya festival, something like that, on poetry, something like that. So yeah, so this is my first time actually directing this as a commission work. Before this, I just working for my suka-suka lah, for my short film and all that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And I'm curious actually, you know, what led you to make this particular film, right? And to tackle that subject matter. So we know that the film is about censorship, right? It's about censorship in film especially. I guess, you know, what were your aims? What made you want to make this film? You know, why did you decide to do it?
Okay, actually this project, it started when I was approached by a couple of friends who are currently at that time doing some research on censorship. It's actually a part of a censorship campaign. So they want to start talking about censorship. So and they are the researcher, and they are doing some interviews with all the filmmakers. Some of the filmmakers, some from old generation and young generation. So, and they approached me and they asked me if I'm interested to join, to be involved in doing some filmmaking or short documentary for this one. So I said, why not? Because actually, they met me after a screening. After a screening of one short documentary by Yusuf Kahin, that short documentary was banned in Egypt, like for 30 years, I think, for so many years lah. So, and I thought that film is like that documentary is quite nice. So just after that, when I was approached by them, I was thinking like, oh, okay, why not? I do lah. So, but they said that I need to contact Freedom Film Network, Anna, for further information lah. So, yeah. Then after that, I contact Anna, and Anna asked me to forward me some sample of my works, my short film previously, and they said they like it, and they want me to do the documentary lah. Yeah. Of course, there are some instruction here and there, brief of the what is the main purpose of this documentary lah. So yeah, so that's actually how it started lah.
Okay, but you were spurred by this other film which was also censored.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
The theme of censorship was playing in your mind. And I'm sure, Zikri, you know, you in your work, you know, you come across censorship in all forms, isn't it? Especially in literature, especially in film. I suppose that's something that matters to you as well.
Yeah, I guess just to build on what Aryan has shared with us earlier about the whole project, about the culture of censorship that has been initiated by Freedom Film Fest. This is something that is very much relatable to our line of work as well, because in Malaysia, different forms of cultural production has been censored, from theatre making to literature production, right? So this is something that is not so invisible or even unfamiliar for most of us. I guess it's quite common for most of us to have maybe a banned books in our shelf or something, you know? Yeah. And of course, throughout the developments of culture of censorship in Malaysia, and of course with the emergence of internet, for example, so it does complicate things further in terms of how the culture of censorship actually developed. So I guess this is what intrigues me to understand the dynamics further. And this opportunity to work with Aryan is very much something that I always welcome. Yeah.
Okay. I think, you know, for any of us growing up here, censorship in film especially, I guess any of us who, and this of course is pre-Astro times, we would see very, very obvious examples of films being cut, isn't it? Films being censored. It was something that we were so accustomed to even from a young age that I don't think many of us even, thought it was out of the ordinary. But it is, of course, you know, very impactful, and there's so much to discuss there. And I guess those are some of the themes you wanted to tackle in this film as well. Can you describe, for somebody who hasn't watched the film, can you describe what the film is all about? I mean, we've got a protagonist in the name. Maybe you can also translate it for those who don't quite understand BM.
Yeah, I guess maybe just to build on the question further, right? Your initial question about the aims of it.
Sure.
I guess it's really to understand the politics of culture, of the censorship culture in Malaysia. And of course, to understand the specter that keeps looming in, you know, like what actually keeps on lurking at us, like try to dictate whatever that we watch, whatever that we read. And then it comes to the main protagonist of the film, which is Nasir Jani. Nasir Jani himself is a veteran filmmaker. And of course, he's actually, for us, his involvement with the documentary actually provide some sorts of what is it called? Sao? I cannot remember it in English, but it's something that try to grip the whole story, you know, the narrative.
The history, anchor?
The anchor, yes. Yeah. So Nasir Jani actually provide the anchor of the starting point of the so-called censorship culture in Malaysia. So that's the reason why we would love to have him in the documentary film as well. Yeah, because his involvement during the early 80s, in the late 70s, actually provided us with a very important insight to what forms of censorship happen and what kind of cultural formation that occurs between those times. So that's the reason why Nasir Jani is very important for this documentary film. Yeah.
And he is very outspoken, very colorful character as well, as you know, anyone who watches the film will see. I think not many people may be familiar with him, right? Do you think you can share a little bit of his story? You know, why is it that he's considered such a controversial character? You know, and maybe just, you know, some of the things that he raises in the documentary.
I think this question is more or less on how or why we decided to have Nasir Jani in our documentary. I think so. Yeah. The decision of for me, the decision why I choose Nasir Jani as the protagonist, the main anchor to this documentary, is actually way before I was approached to make this film. I knew Nasir Jani, of course, by his reputation. So I knew him from his writings, his books, his personal grudge with authority, from news, from his film. So yeah, and my idea, my first idea when I was introduced to this film is actually I want to have some kind of idea of time, duration of how long this issue has been around our country. Like for many years ago until now, it still didn't resolve. So I just want that time frame to be portrayed in this short documentary. So I want some veteran filmmaker, and I want to also include younger generation filmmakers. So that's why, and because from his writing, I read from some of his books, he involved in the event of cutting of the rock star hair yes. In mid-90s. Yes. So I was thinking like, this is kind of like jive with the story and also the symbol of censorship itself, like cutting. So yeah, that's how I'm actually some of the reason why I chose Nasir Jani. And in fact, I think his greatest virtue is actually, I think he's kind of like, Nasir Jani is kind of like outspoken. And also, I think something that's missing in some of his edit function of whatever action and between instinct and his action. So I think it's going to be, I'm just hoping that maybe during the shooting, the production, that I can caught some of the visual of his doing some that kind of weird thing, or I don't know. So yeah, so that's the reason why I'm choosing him. Beside of time frame, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, he has a fascinating story to tell and really outspoken, as you said, right? And some of those points that he raises in the film was, you know, how that whole cutting of the hair of pop stars in the 80s, or was it the 90s, was actually, you know, something to... to make people not talk about real issues that were happening in the film industry at the time. Am I correct?
Yeah, I guess that's the most important part of it, because it shows how censorship can actually affect someone, you know, because during our conversation with him, it's very clear that when he remember, you know, like all those stories, it actually struck him really deep in his heart, because for him, he can do a lot of things, you know, if not because of the censorship. Mm-hmm. So when we actually have a discussion with him, because during our process of making the documentary, we actually travel to his house in Malacca in order for us to visit, you know, to get more stories of himself as well. So he did mention after his first film and then the second film, and then afterwards he became a little bit distracted with the whole film industry in Malaysia, because not only because of the censorship that comes with it, but also with the whole culture that actually influenced the way the film industry was being run. It's very much like a cartel-like kind of business, you know, during the time, because it's very much influenced by those politicians. And also because it's very much influenced by those politicians, it also affect the way he actually produce film because he cannot do whatever that he wants because of the laws and legislation that has been formed in order to restrict certain topics or certain issues that he tried to portray in his film. So I guess that's what happened, I guess, for how censorship can actually affect an individual who actually have a lot of things, you know, to offer to our film industry. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're just going to go for a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to find out more about, you know, some of the things, you know, Nasir Jani actually went through, you know, because he wanted to speak truth to power and he was, of course, censored. So we're going to find out a bit more about him after this quick break. I'm speaking today to Aryan Matzahari. He's the director, co-producer and co-writer of the film Nasir Jani Melawan Lembaga Puaka, and also Zikri Rahman, who was the co-producer and co-writer of the film. We'll have more after this quick break. You're listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Berkarya demi kebenaran, too bad. Kebenaran kamu bukan masalah kami. Selagi ada filem-filem sebegini, selagi itu kami akan haramkan dan potong.
Sebab kelantangan suara bapa melawan pihak berkuasa ketika itu, ramai penerbit yang tak berani ambil bapa untuk mengarah filem dan drama diorang. Bapa terpaksa balik kampung. Mereka ancam keluarga bapa. Bapa dituduh gila. Semakin kuat bapa melawan, semakin kuat juga mereka cuba tutup suara bapa. Bapa kena teruskan hidup. Dan karya-karya bapa yang menjadi kekuatan bapa. Bapa percaya pengkarya, suara pengkarya harus kuat dan mesti kuat. Kita berkarya untuk mencari kebenaran. Takut kerana salah. Berani berkarya kerana kita benar.
Welcome back. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Joining me on the line today are Aryan Matzahari and Zikri Rahman. Aryan is the director, co-producer and co-writer, and Zikri is the co-producer and co-writer of the short film Nasir Jani Melawan Lembaga Puaka, which is a film that tackles censorship in film right here in Malaysia. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about the protagonist of the film, Nasir Jani, who was who cuts quite a controversial figure in our local film industry. In our local film industry, and he really, you know, stood up for what he believed in, and much to his own detriment. Am I correct? Like, he was accused of many things. Some of the stories that he brought up in the film, maybe you can briefly tell us, you know, some of the things that he went through because he spoke truth to power.
I guess, like what Aryan had mentioned earlier, because when we are in the process of making the documentary, we went through many of his archive, and particularly his biography as well, the one that has been published by Rabat Press. So you can always have a look at the book later. I guess the autobiography actually captures different moments during his active period in filmmaking industry. For example, when he actually worked with the what we call advertisement company, and then after that he actually joined in the fray to become a filmmaker, and after that how he actually have to survive from time to time, and how he actually have to go back to his hometown, you know, to survive because he no longer have any works in Kuala Lumpur at that time because of his reputation. So in the film industry, people are actually scared of his reputation, you know. People say that, oh, he's a hard man, you know, to work with and whatnot. But then again, it shows that even like people actually have those kind of connotation about him. Mm. He always produced a lot of scripts, you know, for people to work using his script. So, but in relation to what are the situation that he faced during his active period, I guess it's very much being covered in his biography, where, for example, he was being accused of, mentally unsound. For example, in one of the incidents happened in his house, where one of the former actors actually came to his house and tried to intimidate his family But then again, there is a standoff between Pak Nasir Jani and the police at that time. So, you know, like he's facing different forms of
intimidation
actually at that time. And not only during his private life, it also affects on how he actually makes film as well. Because like I mentioned, nobody wants to work with him because he's a controversial figure, for example.
Mm.
And then in relation to that, I guess there's a lot of different topics that he would love to develop if he didn't really being pressured, you know, or intimidated by the authority at that time. For example, there are two stories that he tried to focus on, which was one is about the student activism issues in 1974, because Pak Nasir himself is someone who were there during the 74, you know, like during the Baling demonstration with Anwar Ibrahim leading the protest at UM. So it's the heydays of student activism at that time. And of course, the second one would be the stories about the Southern Thailand. It's about the Patani issues in Southern Thailand.
Mm.
So those were the two different films that he would love to make, you know, if only he didn't really face the not only censorship, but of course the pressure from the authority that actually disrupt his filmmaking practice. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, I guess he was silenced in many ways, isn't it? And he had to, as you said, he had to go back to his kampong, which I think you mentioned is in Malacca, and he had to, yeah, because he just couldn't afford to be in KL anymore. Gosh. And so, I mean, you know, when you watch the documentary, yeah, you really get a feel for him and, you know, everything that he went through. But there are also others, right? As you said, Aryan, that because you wanted to show like how things haven't changed so much. So we also meet some younger sort of filmmakers also going through the same sorts of situations that Pak Nasir went through, you know, years ago. Tell me a little bit about them. You know, who are the others that we'll meet in the documentary?
Okay. Besides Nasir Jani, we have... Amanda Neil Yu, and also Steven Sarababu. Okay, actually, because of the time frame given the duration for this short film, I was thinking like I want to have like one veteran filmmaker and also one young filmmaker. Actually, I want Amanda to be in because I want to have like a female voice in inside my documentary also. So, but then I found out. During our research and our earliest stage of writing this film, we go through some of interviews done by the friend that approaching me before. The interviews, one of the interviews is with Steven. And I find out that the story of why his film was censored and was banned is quite funny and like it's just like a joke lah. So yeah, so that's why I want to have him in the film because of that. So yeah, so and later on I found out it's okay, I have like Malay, Indian, Chinese, like one muhibah thing.
Yeah,
like
that. I'm not really
want to do that, but yeah. So yeah, why not? So,
turns out lah, kan? Yeah.
Mm, so yeah, that's Steven Sarababu, also a young filmmaker. He's new to this industry as well. And Amanda, I think she's quite well known in some festivals, and his film, I like her films about more or less about a mix between horror and also a coming of age theme. Mm. So yes, that's why she's in and Sarababu also.
Okay.
in the documentary. Yeah.
Yes, and I mean, and you know, you'll hear their stories, of course, in the film. Mm. And I mean, they talk a lot about censorship. You know, Stephen talked about how he doesn't understand why his films were being censored, when you know other films with similar themes were being allowed. You know, it's all those sorts of things coming up in the conversation with him, especially, isn't it?
Yeah, because why I want to do this film because I really want to see this film. It's not really about empty censorship and pro censorship. I don't want to see it. I want to be away from that horizontal clashes. I want to see it more on between the clashes between the upper class and the lower class. I like to see it by the oppressed and the oppressor. I like to see it as a the minority. I want to see it how the minority voices can be structurally pressured or intimidated in this kind of laws or bylaws we have. So that's why. And I listen to them, and the story more or less come from the idea of our state idea. For instance, like they want to have like one kind of uniformity in term of your culture or your status or your identity. So they want something like they want to have like one some kind of one uniform.
Very homogenous.
Yeah, a kind of a homogeneous kind of approach, lah. So in our national state building, something like that. So, but I like to see it in if you watch it carefully in my documentary, it's more or less talking about the conflict between the clashes between the lower and the upper class, lah. So yes, so that's why.
I think that comes up very clearly when Stephen shares his story, right? Because there were some big budget films with pretty much the same sort of themes that he covered in his little low budget film, and he's like a little unknown, right? And but yet his film was censored while others were, you know, completely allowed to be made. And I think, you know, one of the points that Amanda makes in the film, which is why is there still censorship when there's YouTube, when there's Netflix, when, you know, everybody has access to the internet now? That's another point that is brought up in the film as well. Am I correct?
Yeah, I guess that's what Amanda actually shared with us on the documentary, right? But then again, of course, it's a question of the censorship is always going to be mutated, you know? It's always going to change its form from time to time because, we know we already have the legislation. But then again, even with the internet, they try to limit what we can see through the internet as well, you know, like for example how in certain country or even in a certain platform, it's not a question about the legislation directly from the state, it's also internalized within us. For example, like for most of the filmmakers right now, they're also facing some form of self-censorship as well, you know, like, oh, I'm not going to write something which is very controversial because nobody going to pick it up, you know, or we're not going to talk about this kind of issue in our film because nobody going to screen it in the festival, for example. So this is the contradiction or the clash that we are facing as well, you know, within the not only within the filmmaker industry, but the whole culture of cultural formation that we have. So it's always there's some forms of contestation that happens from time to time. So that's what has been portrayed by Amanda as well when she said like, oh, okay, we have all this internet, right? But then again, how does it happen, you know, with all the internet? There must be some forms of censorship that happens as well. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And I mean, the censorship aside, you know, there are lots of other themes also that the film touches on, right? I think you've mentioned, of course, Ariane, that, you know, you wanted to talk about the class division, pretty much the, you know, socio-economic differences between people in Malaysia. What are some other themes that you would say the film touches on as well?
I would say maybe we want to touch a bit about the paradox of modernity, I think. Yeah, I think during our research between me and we have a lot of discussion between me and Zikri about where should we position ourselves? Are we in the anti-censorship or are we the pro-censorship or what happened actually? So yeah, so more or less we also touch a bit on the problematic of modernity itself, where in our time, in our era, where a myriad of ideas kept coming in that also include all the Western idea, which is all about the individualism lah, all that thing lah, kan? So yeah. I was thinking like, what is the type of censorship that we want actually? So that is what we try to ask that question in our documentary lah. We don't have any answer for that, but we try to raise what kind of censorship or what kind of mold that we want. Are we going to have like a Western kind of mold, or are we going to still stick to our traditional value of Eastern ideas. So we try to toying around that ideas basically. But of course, it's we with the duration, we only touch a little bit on the theme lah, basically. Yeah, beside censorship, also beside of the class struggle, I think that's the theme lah.
Okay.
Try to show.
And I'm sure you know. Because there's a lot of history in this film that you guys bring up. So I'm sure there was a lot of research that went into making this film. Tell me a little bit about that. You know, how did you, who did you talk to? You know, where did you go? Who did you speak to?
Okay. This film, we started writing this film during the first MCO. So we didn't much went out to meet someone to talk about this. But we go through some interviews by the researcher, which I said earlier. So, and I talk with some of my close contact on which he works as in a censorship department in the TV station, basically. So I talk informally, so about how actually the censorship works, okay.
That must have been very eye opening.
I just do the informal chatting lah, but it's just for my knowledge lah. But it's not really I'm using that info into that film, because for this short film I started with what I don't want first. I have this mental kind of list in my mind what I don't want to have in this documentary. So I don't want it to be too political in the surface. I don't want it to be more technical, really technical on the term of what is censorship, but in term of laws or rules, whatsoever, in term of acts. So I just want to have a story. I want to have like more human story so inside of it. So yeah, so I don't go too much, or we didn't go too much to interview on the LPF people lah, on the policymakers lah. So we just met these three guys, Amanda, Steven, and Panase. Of course, Panase, we spent a lot of time with Panase and the gang lah. All the gang macam lepas itu semua kan. So we spent a lot of time with them lah. So we hear stories. We listen to them, and we just observe his family, and for me that is more interesting for me. So we try to have that mix. I try not to have like a lot of talking head. So yeah, so I start with that. So and we do some research on books. I think Zikri have more lot to say about it because he's the researcher for this. For this film.
Go for it, Zikri. How was it for you?
Yeah, I guess just to add on a little bit about what Aryan mentioned about the paradox of modernity and whatnot. I guess it's very it is an important historical context, because we try to locate the duration when exactly is the censorship happened, right? In Malaysia. And of course it happens much more earlier. For example, like the first Sedition Act or the Printing Act was being used against the Ahmad Bustamam through his political testament, right?
Yeah.
So that's the first time that the British are actually using those kind of act, you know, to suppress dissenting voices. But then again, in a post-colonial context of Malaysia at that time, we can observe that the government has also tried to justify the usage of those forms of legislation. And Mahathir during that time, this is through Pak Nasir Jani's personal interaction, personal memories, right? When he was still a student in ITM at that time, Mahathir Mohamad is actually the Minister of Education.
That's right.
So he's aware of this kinds of dissenting voices. So it's just a matter of time when Mahathir actually came into power, you know, when he actually used these forms of oppressive laws or structure and tried to mitigate the dissenting voices. So, and it comes back to what Aryan mentioned earlier about the clashes of modernity, because with the cultural formation in Malaysia, it's always going to be homogeneous as well, you know, because what we have as our national culture policy is very much like what a certain scholar, Farish Noor, mentioned as the 3M, like the Malay, Muslim, and middle class. So this is the culture that we have. And that's what they try to portray in our cultural production. But then again, there's always a different contestation to the cultural production, especially from below. You know, like for someone who are those in power, they try to portray, oh, this is what we have as a Malaysian culture. But then again, the dissenting voices from below, maybe, for example, like people like Pak Nasir himself, at that time, he tried to portray a different vision of the national culture. So, you know, these forms of contestation always happen. And it continues to happen even until now, even with, for example, with Steven Saraf Babu as the emerging filmmakers and Amanda Nell as well, you know. So these forms of voices actually always try to rupture, you know, the structure that we have as what we deem as national culture policy, for example. So coming back to the question about like what forms of research, I guess we have to go through a different films and interviews. And of course, it's such a pleasure for us to go through Pak Nasir's personal archive as well, you know, because Pak Nasir as a person, he has a very extensive archive. You know, he has all the footages, he has all the newspaper clipping and whatnot. So it's good for us to know, like, to go and enjoy his archive. But at the same time, it does bring us a different form of story as well, you know, for example, through his personal archive. And of course, like, from the perspective of the state as well. So this is the forms of research that we try to maneuver during our research process. And it's very interesting because we go through different journals as well, you know, just try to establish when exactly is the history or the culture of censorship becoming more prevalent. And it's very clear that during Mahathir era, you know. So what does he try to suppress? This is something that we try to unravel as well through the film, because of course Mahathir is known as someone who are very scientific, you know, have a progressive thinking. So it was during his time that he tried to censor any films that portray horror or cerita hantu, you know. So it's only like 20 years after that, we have like Pontianak Harum Sundal Malam, Sundal Malam. So the star cast during that time is Maya Karen. You know, like, yeah, after 20 years of his ideas of like, oh, we're going to censor anything related to horror film, for example. So you know, like, this kind of research actually inform us to do the documentary. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it is really a fascinating documentary, and I love the style that you guys employed. It's quite quirky, quite tongue-in-cheek, you know, for anyone who's going to come to it. You know, I hope they watch it and they you know, experience what it's all about. How would you describe the style that you went for in this film, and why did you kind of go with that direction, I guess, to tackle quite a serious topic, right, but in this more tongue-in-cheek kind of way?
Okay. Like I said before, I started with mentalist of what I don't want to do for this documentary.
Yes.
So yeah, so, and first thing first, thank you, because you like this film, so yeah.
I loved it. I'm so glad I got to meet Nasir Jani through you guys.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So yeah, then we watched quite a number of films before we do this, because this is my first time, and this is also Zikri's first time doing this short documentary. It's also a commission. And when we met FFN, Film Film Network, they informed us that the idea of to have this documentary is to start a conversation. So, and also to start a conversation between the policymakers and also for the young filmmakers. So I have to have that in mind, that this film has to be engaging, as it's going to be some kind of like a block for further discussion. So I try to make it, like I said before, I try to reduce all the talking heads, all the terms, or all the technical terms about censorship and about ACT. So yeah, even I have to have a talking heads. I try to make it between, to look like it's between a fictional, or it is it be curated, or is it a bit, it's a very candid kind of talking heads. So that's why that's that also, and also it's also, I think it's also because of it's referring to censorship of films. I try to give some kind of homage to cinema. So and I wish all the films, that mostly the reference of the films that I use to make this short documentary, it's most of them is actually a banned film. For instance, like I watch The Crematoor. I think that's a Czech film, I think. And of course, the Yusuf Kahin one, Cairo as told by Yusuf Kahin, a short documentary, which I really like, which also banned in his country. So we use that kind of mix and match and, of that film to make this documentary to be short and quick. I think it's not, because I still have the idea of a short film, not about a long feature length film that become compressed into a few minutes time. So I need to have like some kind of concept for this film. So we've been discussing this with Zikri and the producer, and luckily the producer FFN giving like a free hand for me to explore this style. So yeah.
It worked out really well. I mean, I think, you know, as Zikri said, it's all about rupturing the structure. Rupture the structure. I love that phrase. I'm going to use it from now on. So I guess, sorry, we're running out of time, guys. But, you know, for anyone who's going to hopefully watch it this weekend, what do you hope that they will take away from it? Zikri, you want to go first?
I guess, of course, have a look at it. And of course, what I would love for people to have a take of it, I guess, is to allow the conversation to go further, and of course to allow more rooms of interpretation towards like what form of censorship actually looking or looming into us, you know, like, because like we have discussed earlier, we have the legislation, but now we have the internet and whatnot, but then again we have to be aware on how censorship actually continuously mutating itself as well, whether it's through self-censorship or internalized forms of censorship and whatnot. So I would love for the filmmakers or even the cultural aficionados to enjoy watching the film. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And Arian?
I think, yeah, of course, I want them to first to enjoy this film. And I want them to raise more questions. Because that's the total idea of this film and how we try to do it. We try to raise question. Basically, maybe I'm not too sure is it important or not, but I think some kind of any question, either from a pro censorship or from the anti censorship team, so called. So just enjoy, and I hope they raise some question for a further constructive discussion. So I think that's what I hope for. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, again, it's a very short film. It's only about half an hour or so, you know, so much in it, so much historical context, so much, you know, modern day context as well that we can take away from it. Do catch it. If you want to catch the film, it's being released just for 1 week on the Freedom Film Fest YouTube channel and also on their webpage. So do catch it. Again, it's called Nasir Jani Melawan Lembaga Puaka. Do catch that this weekend. My thanks again to the both of you. I've been speaking to Arian Matzahari, who is the director, co-producer and co-writer, and Zikri Rahman, who's the co-producer and co-writer of the film that we were just talking about, Nasir Jani Melawan Lembaga Puaka. If you missed any part of today's interview or any previous Live and Learn interviews, you can search for the podcast at bfm.my/learn, or you can find it on the BFM app. This has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Sebenarnya pemerintah tak perlu takut kepada rakyat kalau dia betul. Jadi kalau penapisan itu digunakan untuk kebaikan rakyat, dia tak perlu takut. Tetapi kalau kata dalam konteks menggunakan untuk kepentingan diri sendiri, untuk menutup, divert isu katalah rasuah, isu skandal menteri, isu pembunuhan tokoh-tokoh, saya rasa di situ mungkin kita boleh persoalkan. Di situ, ya, kerajaan kerana takut, dia gunakan LPF ataupun Lembaga Penapisan Filem.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.